I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro. I need the noises of destruction.
This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, Breaking Glass. Today's episode, Home Before Dark and Fading Male Patriarchal Power, Quibbling with Quibi, Part 1. It's the first masterful series from Apple TV+, after a horrible slip out of the gate with a clumsy and awkward The Morning Show. Home Before Dark details the efforts of a 9-year-old reporter to get to the bottom of a disappearance and supposed murder that has racked a small town in the state of Washington. While The Morning Show glamorizes mainstream media by supposedly reveling in its foibles, Home Before Dark is an actual critical series that exposes through its 9-year-old truth seeker the inner workings of a small town ruled by aging male public officials who conceal and bury the truth. The key to the series, which has several well-defined and extremely differentiated characters, is the intrepid reporter Hildy, based on an actual preteen journalist. The real-life journalist, also named Hildy, covers the crime beat, but the series improves on the reality by altering this trajectory so that what the fictional Hildy focuses on is broader than crime reporting. It's the investigative journalism of her heroes from All the President's Men. Her single-minded pursuit of the truth results in her getting to the bottom of a crime long buried, which has resulted in the ostracizing of a Native American, or Yakima, brother and sister, with the brother she discovers falsely convicted of the disappearance of a young boy. The sheriff, the mayor, and the sheriff's son all have secrets around the disappearance, which they guard jealously. Hildy also assembles a team to help in her investigation. There are her two classmates, an Asian girl and an African-American boy, Spoon and Donnie, with Donnie particularly well fleshed out as a worldwide 9-year-old investigative entrepreneur. Her other allies include the African-American deputy Tripp, who is the lone truth seeker in the sheriff's office, as well as Hildy's lawyer mother, who comes to the aid of the jailed Native American Sam. The villains are equally well drawn. The smug sheriff who constantly covers up his initial rush to judgment, the alcoholic mayor who may have beaten his son, Richie, the missing boy, and the sheriff's son, Frank, caught up in the lies of his father, which have imprisoned him as well. What the series does is assemble a group of outsiders who challenge the white male power structure in the town and succeed. It's a Me Too fairy tale where diversity triumphs. The enterprise is led by the stunning performance of Brooklyn Prince, its stalwart heroine. The show tells some truths as well about what this new generation is facing. It has the structure of the John Hughes teen films of the 1980s, with its assembling of a Scooby-Doo gang, its focus on the romance of the adolescent older sister Izzy, and its wonderful food fight at school in the midst of which Hildy's group is assembled. However, this is a darker time than the 80s, so the teens here are 9-year-olds, that is, exposed to murder, corruption, and cover-ups much earlier than in the 80s, when neoliberalism was just starting to take hold. In these more perilous times, the confluence of greed and corruption is an essential part of what kids must confront in growing up. The darker mood is echoed and announced in the soundtrack, which refrains strands from Blue Velvet, itself partially a young adult and teen film, which describes a far more guilty world than the films of the early 80s. Home Before Dark also features the generational difference in technology, with its focusing on the social media savvy of its preteen characters, such that, for example, Hildy's paper is online while her father's was printed. The young entrepreneur Donnie notes about their foes, "My intel tells me they're smart and savvy," and Hildy must explain to her grade school colleagues what in the world microfiche is. Here, though, unlike Netflix's Stranger Things, the technology gap is seen as something to be overcome in their exposure of the truth, not as mere nostalgia. The only false note in the series is the character of Hildy's father. Her sister Izzy, in a stunning moment, accuses Hildy of sucking the wind out of everyone around her, as the sister, another well-drawn character, feels stifled in a family with a star reporter. In the same way, Jim Sturgis's constant mumblecore Marlon Brando as relocated Brooklyn slacker is a solitary piece of ham acting that attempts to suck the wind out of what is a stunning ensemble cast. His digressions and constant illogical reversals often bring the show to a halt. Perhaps this is the problem of a group of actors relatively less known and a single actor with more of a reputation, he was in Cloud Atlas, Across the Universe, who attempts to monopolize the show and as such puts his own patriarchal imprint on it. But this drawback does not succeed in sinking or even deterring the forward motion of the show. Hildy and her expert crew of diverse truth seekers expose and triumph over the decaying debris of a white male power structure, which attempts to hang on at all costs and stands in the way of progressive change. Quibbling over Quibi, Part 1. Quibi, which stands for Quick Bites, bursts of entertainment, none more than 10 minutes and most less, designed for mobile phone use on the go, launched in the U.S. in early April, in the midst of the quarantine and what might be an inopportune time for its short or no attention span theater. This is no fly-by-the-seat-of-its-pants startup enterprise. The service launched with $1.75 billion in funding from not only all the major Hollywood studios, including Disney, NBC Universal, Sony, Warner, Liberty, CBS Viacom, but also the tech industry, Google and Alibaba, the chemical industry, Procter & Gamble, and major retail, Walmart. The head of this new streaming service, which again takes on the appearance of a major studio, is Jeffrey Katzenberg, former chair of Disney and then co-founder and CEO of DreamWorks. Katzenberg's stamp is that of pure entertainment. At Disney, his reign produced The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, The Lion King, and at DreamWorks, a Spielberg-Disney conglomerate, he oversaw Shrek, Kung Fu Panda, and Monsters vs. Aliens. These were noxious and sometimes obnoxious, as in Shrek, overly media-savvy and saturated American fairy tales with little real progressive or social content, or where the social content, though hewing to a general liberal line, was diluted and muted. The programming in Quibi follows the Katzenberg line, highly star-oriented, with Jennifer Lopez, Queen Latifah, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Guillermo del Toro, Sam Raimi, Will Arnett. Flashy, instantly grabbing, but with little value other than diversion. Tales told by idiots signifying nothing, except to grab and hold the audience for the required 7 to 10 minutes. The high-end is scripted series, but the majority of content is the much cheaper to produce second and third tier documentaries and, quote, news features, featuring in some cases social media influencers, that is online product pluggers who have fashioned themselves into savvy consumer promoters at the moment when consumption, because of the coronavirus, is taking a dive as people instead struggle with how to pay the rent and feed their families. Quibi, though, is not just a studio, reviving the worst aspects of cable, a flagship dramatic series with the rest of the programming reruns, and reality TV. It's also a digital conglomerate, and as such, is a participant in all aspects of the surveillance economy. Though at the moment, its most startling innovation, that is, it's only available on mobile phones and designed to fill in the short gaps in workers' lives as they scurry to their now more dangerous jobs, may have, because of the amount of work being done at home, lost some of its potential to attract, though the app was downloaded 1.7 million times in the first week after its launch. Katzenberg says Quibi is the best of Hollywood and the best of Silicon Valley, but it's also the worst of each. The company earns revenue through ads and offers a cheaper monthly subscription rate for no ads, and at its launch, it had already secured a year's worth of advertising time. Quibi also, though, will harness viewer information, both for its own programming purposes, like Netflix. It asks your age when you subscribe. And in addition, it may also sell the data to advertisers. Indeed, it has already been accused of, quote, leaking email addresses to Google, Facebook, and Twitter, companies adept at harnessing participant data for advertising purposes. The Quibi, come on, was a message saying, a whole world of quick bite entertainment awaits you. Please take a moment to confirm your email to better secure your account. It's through gimmicks like this, as one media analyst put it, that companies are able to create such an all-encompassing profile. Quibi is also designed to take advantage of the coming 5G faster download speeds for mobile phones, and as such, may also raise rates for mobile subscribers, as well as pushing the development of the network of 5G towers, which may have an environmental safety factor involved. In addition, harking back to the 2001 film Startup about a tech company whose idea is stolen before it goes to market by a rival who visits the company and views their interface. Quibi was accused of stealing video technology demoed for Katzenberg and other Quibi employees. This is the underside of the smarmy, pure entertainment ethos of the Disney DreamWorks American Dream, the intense competition that pits all against all and leads to an endgame of big fish eating little fish with the blood from the kill polluting the media waters. Next week, I'll be back with a look at Quibi form and content. This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, reporting from war-torn Paris. Oh, change of mind,
sound of breaking glass. Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. Is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes, jazzistiques et artistiques, à notre écoute.